Okay, I'd like to call the Local Transportation Commission regular meeting for February 16th to order. All district supervisors are in attendance. Number two, oral communications, general public comment. This portion of the meeting is an opportunity for members of the public to address the Local Transportation Commission on subjects relating to county business. No action can be taken on matters not listed on the agenda. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to number three, consent agenda. These matters are expected to be routine and non-controversial and are usually approved by a single majority vote without discussion. Items can be removed from the consent agenda to be discussed and considered separately. Prior to approval of the consent agenda, the chair will announce that comments or questions will be taken from members of the public, staff, or the board on consent agenda items when the comment does not necessitate the item being removed for separate action. 3.1 is going to be continued. No unfinished business. Number five, new business. 5.1, presentation and request for adoption of the Alpine County Short Range Transit Plan. Community Development Director. Brian?
Yes, Brian Peters. This is a plan that gets updated periodically. It's the Short Range Transit Development Plan. We hired LSC Transportation Consultants. They're very familiar with our county. They've done a number of projects for us. They've worked over the last several months putting this plan together, gathering community input, making presentations. Last week they were at the Woodford's Community Council with the presentation, and Genevieve Evans with LSC is here today, so I'm going to turn it over to her. Do you have a presentation? Yes, we can get that set up, and then that'll take a moment to get set up, and then she'll go through a presentation, and at the end of the presentation, we have a recommendation to adopt the plan. It doesn't, it's a little bit unusual in that it doesn't require a resolution. It's just board action in this particular case. So if the board's so inclined, at the end of the item, we would recommend adoption.
Out the top one there, Alpine, thank you. So my name is Genevieve Evans. As I don't know if you can't hear me, as Brian said, I'm a planner.
And here's
the clicker.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
And we were hired by the LTC to update the Alpine County Short Range Transit Plan. As Brian kind of referenced, so the first question might be, why do we update a transit plan every 5 years? What's the purpose of this study? First of all, it's just good planning practice, right, to reevaluate what our public transit needs are in the region, even for a county as small as this. It also provides accountability for taxpayer money. As you're well aware, most of the funding comes from some type of tax. Mostly sales tax, so it's always good to double check there. And it also provides Brian and the Community Development Department with an opportunity for a third party to kind of step back and just make sure how the bus is performing and if there's anything we can do to make it more efficient. The transit planning process is pretty standard. We start out by documenting existing transit needs. We do this by looking at who do we think needs to ride the bus and where do they need to go. We talk to a lot of people. We have kickoff meetings. We talk to stakeholders, Health and Human Services, the Tribal Council here at Hung LLT, and Washoe TANF, and also the riders. We did a little community survey. And then we go through a whole process of analyzing many different types of alternatives, possibilities, possible solutions to these needs for service that have been brought up, and ultimately come up with the recommended plan. So in terms of documenting existing transit needs, I just have a few here that you're probably, a few statistics you're probably familiar with. Well, the first thing we do is we look at the potentially transit-dependent population. This includes older folks over 65, youth who cannot drive, disabled individuals, and probably one of the more important ones is households with no vehicle available to them. So there are the statistics there. We have a pretty good percentage of older adults, particularly in Markleyville and Mesa Vista. In terms of zero vehicle households, there's actually only 15 zero vehicle households according to the census. This is the census data that this comes from. And most of those are at the tribal community, Honolulu T, some in Mesa Vista and Kirkwood, and there's none in Bear Valley and Markleyville. In terms of where people go, that's often medical destinations. Typically down in Minden-Gardnerville, folks who have Medi-Cal need to go to perhaps South Lake Tahoe. And a lot of these trips that we take on our bus system here are through some of the social service agencies and paid for through the social service department. There's also education. Some people want to go to the community college in Lake Tahoe or even to high school. And of course, you know, maybe you want to go swimming and kart at the pool down there in Gardnerville or other things like that. We look at commute patterns. In terms of commute patterns in Alpine County, we didn't find a real discernible pattern. You know, a high proportion of employees that go to one place or the other. Some of that might be attributed to maybe there's a lot of telecommuters or folks who maybe work for an organization such as Caltrans where the main office address of your employer is elsewhere, so it's really actually hard to get an idea of where people are actually coming from and going. One of the focuses of this particular transit plan update was to look a little bit deeper into connections to other transit services. How this would benefit Alpine County is that, you know, since we are such a small county, there's not very many resources available. Is there ways that we can get a better connection to some of the other nearby regional transit services? And from there, folks can get to more urban areas. And last but not least, we did do a community survey or a comment card that was distributed through Health and Human Services to passengers on the bus and to the tribal community. We got about 23 responses, and those responses are summarized in the back of the plan. I think you're pretty familiar with where Alpine County goes, and I think what this map shows is such a large area that the Dial-A-Ride service does serve. You know, our kind of purplish pink there is the Markleyville, Minden-Gardner area, South Lake Tahoe, and Carson City. That's all part of the regular service area. And then on Thursdays, there's special needs service where if you pay for the total cost of the trip, not just the advertised fare, you can be taken to a destination for medical purposes within a reasonable range, of course. And some of these trips go down to the clinic down in Colville, down south, or maybe Truckee or Reno. One of these sections of the report is, as I said, we review the performance of the Dial-A-Ride system. And so here are our stats. So we serve about 1,152 one-way passenger trips a year. That's how we calculate ridership, is by boarding, so one-way passenger trips. And every year it's about 827 hours and about 17,000 miles, and it costs about $70,000 to operate this. We get a little under $7,000 from the passengers in terms of fares. And as I had mentioned, most of these passengers are going through a social service type of program, or many of them are, which are paid for through that program. Therefore, when we categorize passengers, less than 1% are considered general public, so they're not elderly or disabled or part of a program. Ridership by day, as you know, we operate Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, with special needs day on Thursday. Special needs is a little different, so it's a lower proportion, but the other days of the week are pretty similar. No real major trends there. We did review some Dial-A-Ride driver logs to see where people going, what's the most common origin destination pattern. And Honolulu T to Markleyville was the most common, about 9 round trips per month. And then also to Gardnerville, that's another popular one. And in farther distance locations, Carson City and South Lake Tahoe seem to get the most trips. And performance. So productivity, we transit planners measure that in passenger trips per vehicle service hour, which for the Alpine County Dial-A-Ride is under 2, which doesn't seem like very much, and compared to an urban service, it isn't very much. But for a Dial-A-Ride service, if you get about 2.5 passenger trips per hour, that's actually about as good as you can do. So considering our small population, that's not too bad. Operating subsidy per passenger trip is when you take the annual operating costs of the operating the service and subtract out passenger fares. You get about $54 a trip. Fare box ratio, you're probably familiar with that. That's when you take passenger fares and you divide that by operating costs. And this is important because the Transportation Development Act, which is our primary funding source, for most areas, for most rural areas, it is required that you have a 10% fare box ratio. Here in Alpine County, because we're so small, less than 5,000 people, you're not subject to that rule. However, we're making it, so that's very good. Okay, so I'll go through, I think you had a long meeting before this, but I'll try and go through the various alternatives that we looked at. And the way I have them outlined there is the transit need that came up through our existing needs process, and then the solution, possible solution we came up with. First one here is improve connectivity to Lake Tahoe. That came up through public input, particularly from the tribe. I understand that recently the Dreslerville Clinic may not accept Medi-Cal anymore, so that it may be more important for some folks to get to California, South Lake Tahoe, for services instead of Minden-Gardnerville. There's also the college there, and there is a gal who does ride the bus to Lake Tahoe Community College. She can only do it one way, I believe. So one thought would be, so there is the Tahoe Transportation District does operate, you know, kind of a triangular route along to Highway Kingsbury Grade and Highway 50 through Minden-Gardnerville. So we could try and connect with that a little bit better. Right now, Dial-A-Ride doesn't operate early enough, so the first trip you could take from Minden-Gardnerville isn't until the afternoon, and then you're pretty much stuck there, so you'd have to spend the night. So you could try operating Dial-A-Ride a little bit sooner. It'd be pretty early, 6 a.m., to meet that first commuter that leaves Gardnerville, I believe, at 7 a.m. We were estimating that would take maybe 1.2 trips per day, which isn't significant, and it would cost about $13,000. So how to evaluate these alternatives as feasible? As you'd seen there, our annual operating costs are about $70,000. We might get about $80,000 in revenue, so there's a little bit of wiggle room, but this $13,000 does not fit into that. Another option would be, or an additional option would be, to extend in the evening hours as well to have more possible connections, but we don't think that would be even quite as productive. Continuing with the connections to regional transit services, as I don't know if people are aware, that ESTA, Eastern Sierra Transit Authority, does a great job of, they have inner city transit services all up and down 395 corridor, so you could catch their bus in Gardnerville for using Dial-A-Ride and go to Reno, or you go all the way to Lancaster, where you can get to the Metrolink station, where you can go pretty much anywhere. It might be beneficial to put that on the brochure or just advertise it a little bit so that there's more people are aware of these options. So on the western portion of the county, there's really no public transit service. So one need would be connect to Calaveras Transit for Bear Valley residents. Calaveras Transit goes as far as Arnold. So maybe you could send Dial-A-Ride up to Bear Valley, which would be, you know, difficult even, and particularly in the winter, or a base of Dial-A-Ride there, and maybe one day a week provide a connection to Calaveras Transit in Arnold. You could do one round trip to Arnold and stay there for a couple hours if people just want to go to Arnold and come back, or you could just drop them off. But it would be difficult unless you had a couple round trips to get good connectivity to Calaveras Transit, so that you could take Calaveras Transit, say, to Angels Camp or wherever you need to go and come back that day. We also estimate, because there are no zero vehicle households in Bear Valley, that the ridership would be quite low, which is part of the reason we come up with that less than one passenger trip per day. And the cost would be relatively high. So that's not looking very feasible. Along the same lines, connectivity to Amador Transit from Kirkwood. We looked at that a little bit. Amador Transit goes as far as Amador Station on Highway 88, but there's really nothing there. So you could try and, you know, just kind of drop people off at the bus there. But in looking at everything, it just seems like a better idea to take folks in Kirkwood who need services to go to South Lake Tahoe. And we look at that later. One of the most common comments from our passengers is service 5 days a week. So that would be basically service on Friday. So we looked at that. You could do that as a full day from 8 to 5. And we're estimating that would be the most productive. That would get about 8 passenger trips a day. A little less, maybe it would be probably a little less than what we would get on the other days. But unfortunately, that's costly. It's $15,000, so that's over our little buffer zone there. Another option, maybe you just advertise one round trip on Fridays. You know, you could make an advance to Minden Gardnerville or South Lake Tahoe, and that might be more financially feasible. An issue that came up in speaking with various folks is that there are some kids in the Hungle LT community who would like to continue or further education. Maybe they got behind somehow and they want to take summer school, and there's no transportation for them to summer school at Douglas High School. So perhaps Dalaric could help out there. To do that, we would have to start service earlier because they need to get there by 8. And you would also have to provide service on Fridays, and you'd have to adjust your special needs Thursday to make sure that you could go to have a trip to and from Gardnerville, but it would only be for a 9-week period. So the cost isn't too bad, and if you have these children who are taking the bus for these 9 weeks, your ridership wouldn't be too bad either. Particularly, the cost wouldn't be too bad if the tribe committed some funds to help out for that. Here's our Kirkwood alternative, would potentially be maybe advertised just as an option for just 2 Fridays a month. And it would probably, the best would be to require advance reservations so you're not driving out there with nobody being there, and help out folks with no vehicle there and take them from Kirkwood to South Lake Tahoe, you know, just a couple times a month, and maybe you'd need 2 people to reserve that before you'd actually operate it. And this would only be during the summer, because during the winter, Kirkwood does operate some shuttle services back and forth. We're thinking you might get about 4 trips per service day there, about 64 annually, which isn't a lot annually. But the operating cost may not be significant. So that's something to think about. Other things we talked about is hire a backup driver. This has actually been done, because originally there was just one driver, and if she's sick or would like to take vacation, then there's nobody else to run the bus. I believe somebody from Health and Human Services was doing it, but that was maybe getting harder to do. So now we have an official backup driver. And, you know, we do have, you know, 2 vehicles. We have the bus and the minivan as well. So the backup driver could also be used to help out with some of these alternatives if they were able to be implemented. And another good use of a backup driver would be, say, the bus goes to South Lake Tahoe for a day, and then maybe somebody in Hungle LT calls and just needs a very short ride to Markleyville and back. The backup driver could grab the minivan and take care of that. We looked at vanpool options in the past, providing transportation for folks to and from Gardnerville from the community was seen as a need. It didn't come up quite as much this time. Vanpools, they do have more flexible van pool options now that some public transit agencies do, you know, smaller van pools. Mm-hmm. However, the challenge there probably would be the cost to the passengers. It could be as much as $180 a month. Folks who may need it may not all have the same consistent schedules and go to the same location, so that might be a little bit more of a challenge there. Programs that have worked in other rural areas, particularly Placer County, I've been thinking about, is a transportation reimbursement volunteer driver program. This is where you set aside, and maybe in Alpine County it's say $5,000 of TDA funds, and you, where a person in need of a trip, and this could serve, you know, the entire county this way, is they find a volunteer, their friend or a relative, to take them to a qualified trip. You know, wouldn't be probably to a casino or something, probably a medical appointment, and the volunteer would get reimbursed for their gas mileage. Or alternately, you could, if somebody just couldn't afford to pay the gas, you yourself could be reimbursed. But there would be a qualification process. So this does take a little bit of administrative time. Mm-hmm. According to Placer County, they estimate that about a third of their costs of their volunteer driver program go towards administration. But this is something to think about. In Alpine County, I know it's difficult. There's so few staff members to have somebody organize this type of program. But it is something to think about, and we were estimating, and just estimating, that perhaps this could boost our ridership quite a bit and fill some needs. But again, I think the challenge would be finding a way to administrate the program, making sure it's not misused. Other alternatives mentioned in there, special event transportation. This is something that the Dial-A-Ride system, you know, kind of does. If somebody, you know, whether I think something was mentioned, senior soak Mondays at the hot springs or something like that, you know, I'm sure Dial-A-Ride it works with different agencies to make sure people can get to where they need to go. When you do that, you just need to be aware of the charter rules for Federal Transit Administration. If you do something like that, make sure that it is open to the public and a fare is charged, because otherwise you have to go through this whole process if it's considered a charter service. Last thing there, coordination with First Five. In the past, Dial-A-Ride system used to carry a lot of First Five children. So I contacted the executive director to see if there was anything they needed. His only suggestion was perhaps work with the county to see if there's a way he could provide vouchers for some of the families of his clients to make it easier for them to use the bus. So that's just service alternatives. Now we have capital needs, which turns out to be pretty important. You know, to run a bus system, you need a good working bus. Right now we have our, 9-passenger bus that should be replaced in about 6 years or so. And it costs about $100,000 to $150,000. There are Federal Transit Administration grants available for this. These are competitive, and in the past, Alpine County, being so small, hasn't always done so well with that. So to be financially prudent, we may need to set aside local funds or Transportation Development Act funds for having a bus. If we don't, you know, the bus, something happens, and the Dial-A-Ride system has to cease operating, you lose faith from the public, and also there are people who are depending on this service to get to where they need to go. The minivan would probably need to be replaced a little bit sooner. It's good to have a backup vehicle, but in talking to staff, there's potential for to get a vehicle from the county that's been surplus and use that for kind of as a backup. And then we also mentioned at the Hungalelti Tribal Council community a couple weeks ago to see if there's interest in a passenger in a shelter at the community somewhere. They seemed interested. This was actually recommended by the Dial-A-Ride driver. They just wanted to make sure that it didn't eliminate the door-to-door option for folks who needed it. So there is potential for a little bit of capital funding money, I believe in coordination with Amador County, that's being worked out. So if that is available, there's potential for that. So our plan, so we're thinking, you know, unfortunately transit plans are limited by what money is available. So if we have this, you know, almost $10,000 buffer every year. If we squirrel this away, set it aside for a new bus, by the time it needs to be replaced, we'll be somewhere in that ballpark of about $122,000. This would require us to maintain status quo operations, but it would ensure the long-term feasibility of operations in Alpine County. However, if at the same time we should be applying for federal transit grant funds, and if a grant is acquired, then we can go back and look at those alternatives, you know, make sure that they're still a potential and implement them. And the ones that would probably be the best would be if you could afford it, a Dial-A-Ride service on Fridays, maybe even just that one trip instead of the 8 to 5 hours, because that was a popular need and it was the most productive. And the other option would be maybe Dial-A-Ride service bi-monthly to Kirkwood is something to consider. If you do implement alternatives, once you've established that they're financially feasible, it might be best to implement them as a pilot service, particularly the Kirkwood service. And, you know, set a standard if you're not meeting the ridership estimates that we outlined in the plan or ones that you feel are appropriate, And if it doesn't meet that in a year or so, then maybe that's no longer not a warranted service. And so the other elements we stated in the plan, hire a backup driver, which we already did. And with respect to the summer school's transportation for the Hung LLT kids, in discussing with staff, which seemed like a good use of resources, would be, my understanding is that they have a van. Hung LLT has a van, but they don't necessarily have the staff available to drive one all the time on a regular basis. But if we have a new backup driver, perhaps she would be available to the community, and the community could help pay for that to drive the community children to Douglas High School. And we did mention that to the Tribal Council a couple weeks ago, and they seemed on board with that idea and would be willing to submit to contribute funds if necessary. So that's some good coordination we can work on there. So that's pretty much it. I can answer any questions. The next step would be to take your comments and other comments that we've received and put together a final plan.
Questions?
Go ahead.
You mentioned the shuttle up at Kirkwood that they do have now, but I believe that only applies to employees, and I don't know of anybody who's a non-vehicle home at Kirkwood that doesn't work for Kirkwood.
Right.
Yeah. So
I said there were three, and I was like...
Well, that could be very possible, people who are working for the ski area. And
sure.
People, but I do know of one person who doesn't have a car up there, who does not work for the ski area,
okay.
But has friends that they transport, and that's a big problem up at Kirkwood always.
Okay.
But it usually is not going to be Friday, the day they want to leave, because payday is usually, I think, still Thursday.
Okay.
And, you know, they want to be back by the mountain by Friday because they don't want to be caught by the traffic or by the snow.
Right.
So I don't know if that one would work for them, because I don't know if it's open to the public. And that the lady I know
right.
does not work for Kirkwood.
Okay.
Normally. I mean, it doesn't mean that she doesn't work occasionally.
I think you're right. I think it is more of an employee thing. Okay.
But,
so.
But like I said, there's probably not too many people that are going to fall into that niche at Kirkwood for that. And when I saw your report at the community, the tribal community, I was very impressed with it. In my mind, I would leap to always including someone in education as first. That would be the first thing.
Okay.
And I want to take issue about not people who go to summer school to get caught up.
Mm.
But in my case, in other people's cases, was to get ahead.
Right, okay.
You know, so it's a little bit more of a focus
right.
that way.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, when it's a 5-day job, opportunity for people to know that dial rights are open, then it's 5 days you can plan on it.
If right.
it's that one day you don't seem to remember what day it's closed, you kind of tend to
right.
pull back, and that would be my point.
Okay.
If I may, I think a lot of the issues that I'm hearing out in the community is folks who need to go to medical appointments at Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Colville, so, and Minden, of course. I think that, in my eyes, is an extremely high priority.
Okay.
Just to tag on what Supervisor Jardine had said, that there is a concern from constituents that try to make the doctor's appointments, but they can't because on bad weather days.
Mm.
So I don't know if that has been, you know, looked into. Or
well, the vehicle does have automatic chains, correct?
Yeah, I could address that.
Would you please?
Yeah. The new bus we bought does have the drop-down change, but we do have a policy adopted by the board, and it's really at the call of the driver on whether to even go out on a day. The drop-down chains are more for when they're out and storm comes in so you can safely get back. If we've got bad conditions at 8 a.m. in the morning, we're not going to put the driver and the passengers at risk, even with the drop-down chains. So it's the call of the operator. They look at the road conditions. You know, if we know the sun's going to be out at 10 o'clock and it's snowing at 8, they'll probably go out. But if it's calling for snow all day long, chances are they're going to cancel that. And that's per the policy that the board or the LTC adopted for the operation. So unfortunately, there are days when we do have to cancel.
Thank you. The other night at the community council meeting, I believe you may have misunderstood. The community council is not in favor of a bus shelter.
Okay.
And I know it was mentioned in our plan, but they are really okay. not in favor of it. I don't know. I was talking to one of the community council members, and he says, well, he says that even though they're not in favor of it, they would not hold up this plan. So I
okay.
don't know if this is something that you can research a little bit later on down the road, if we want to just keep it in the plan as it is now. And then if they do decide to change their mind or something like that, I don't know, we could bring it back, I suppose. I don't know, but...
Yeah,
not too many of them were in favor of it.
Okay. No, yeah, I know there was discussion, and I was thinking as long as there was curb to curb, but no, there's no reason to, if they're not in favor for it, then we don't need to go through that. Okay, I'll talk with Scott Moss about that.
Okay.
And one other thing, when I was a Dial-A-Ride driver many moons ago, before that, there was a program with Health and Human Services that did the voucher system. And that was, so much time was spent on accountability. It was, they said, not worth the time. I agree with it, though. If your next-door neighbor can take you to the doctor, you can get a voucher. I like that. But the administration, the person that's driving, has to prove the gas. They have to have the doctor sign the voucher. They, you know, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
That's
gotcha.
My only comment.
So...
Yeah. Is there anything else?
Looking for an adoption.
Yes.
I would move to adopt the Alpine County Short Range Transit Plan.
I second.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Jardine, seconded by Supervisor Rawson. Any further discussion on this item?
Set it off.
Okay. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The vote is unanimous. 5.2, request adoption of a resolution to approve the revised 2016 Regional Transportation Improvement Plan, Community Development Director.
Brian Peters, Community Development Director. Normally we would have Scott Moss present this, but he's off this week. This is the follow-up item that I think I gave an indication to the board you'd be seeing. This is in response to the cut in funding at the California Transportation Commission, and all local agencies, transportation agencies across the state have been asked to reduce or defer projects in order for the California Transportation Commission to meet that reduction. So that's what this is. So in a sense, it's kind of a housekeeping item. You see in the transmittal, there are three changes that are recommended here, having to do with the planning and programming monitoring funds. Those are the planning funds. The ones probably of more interest are the project funds, the Hot Springs Road, Phase 1, what's called PS&E, and that's the detailed engineering. That's the engineering and specifications for the project. Gets moved out a year, and then the construction kind of follows that same pattern for Phase 1, moves out a year as well. So that is the recommendation. You have a long document attached there because it all has to be readopted. But those are the only substantive changes that we're recommending, and then we will forward this on to the California Transportation Commission in accordance with the deadline they said. It has to be in, I think, sometime in March. I think the middle of March is when they have to have it. So that's it.
Question. By putting this back, how much more damage, delayed maintenance that we do on Hot Springs, how much more damage are we doing to the road when we are still within that parameters?
Well, I don't know that we're doing damage per se. I think it's just a slow deterioration that occurs from year to year. So the pavement continues to wear out,
degrade
cracks a little bit more. Few more potholes, that kind of thing.
And we get to a certain line where it becomes, I can't remember what the line is, where it becomes more damage than we can replace and how close we are to that.
Well, we've already passed that. And the PCI rating is 25, and I forget that threshold is somewhere 40 to 50 in their rating system, where you pretty much you can't just go do an overlay. You've got to completely reconstruct it, and that's what the scope of the Hot Springs Road project is, that we've already kind of fleshed out. It's a total reconstruction.
So in other words, it really doesn't matter because we're really going to do it all over anyway.
Right,
so
right.
It can even go back another couple years.
Yeah, it's just going to, you know,
well, yeah.
A few more cracks, maybe another pothole. Road department has to spend more time out there just kind of keeping it together.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Any other questions?
No, is it?
I've moved the resolution.
Oh, all right.
A second.
Okay, motion by Supervisor Jardine, seconded by Supervisor Rawson. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The vote is unanimous to adopt the resolution. And we will adjourn as the Local Transportation Commission. And we have no closed session items.
Hold on a second, Kathy.
Oh.